Man, the woes continue in Motown. Coming up on this edition of the Die Hard Damn podcast, Shawnee J and I look at the Lions' woeful performances over the past few weeks. He has an eye-pride profile on a current Lions player, and Now You Know covers what happens when a penalty occurs during a scoring play. All this and more coming up on this edition of the Die Hard Damn podcast. Watch out. Here comes that roar.
What up, though? This is Kurt Steele, and welcome to the Die Hard Damn podcast. And as always, I'm with my man, Shawnee J.
What up, people? We back.
Hey, like Shawnee J said, we're back. I really enjoyed my anniversary cruise. It was great. It was awesome. I didn't get a chance to look at the actual games, which probably made it a little bit more enjoyable because I didn't want to watch the Lions lose and, you know, while I'm on vacation. But, hey, you know, for those individuals who want the Lions to tank, I guess they had a pretty good couple of weeks. But, hey, we're back, ready to go. We're going to get this thing going, and we're going to keep you guys informed for the rest of the year. And on into the draft, into training camp, and up to into next season. So right now, it is time to tell me something good. So this week, tell me something good. The Detroit Lions players took students from the Detroit Lions Academy to Myers for a Christmas shopping spree. Now, a lot of the children and families that the Detroit Lions Academy serve are under privileged individuals, and they really needed that Christmas lift. And for the Lions as an organization and a player to take these young children, you know, Christmas shopping, you know, some of them a lot of times aren't buying toys and items for themselves. You know, it may be one or two things. They're spreading the joy to their families because they know that they have a need to spread the joy of Christmas to others. And big shout out to the Lions players that participated in that. And also, the Lions had a, I think it was called Present Prowl, where they visited Bethune Elementary, and Lions players also went and handed out presents to those young students at that school. I've always liked the good community engagement that the Lions have had, especially the last few years. What do you think about that, my man, Shawnee J, with the community involvement for the Lions?
I like it. I like it a lot. I know the Lions had, once again, another bad season on the football field. The win column is not where we want it. At least they got something right in the community. They're still helping the community out. Like I said, helping the needy, the less fortunate, helping them, but with, you know, make their, give a little Christmas cheer with some few toys, some clothes, some groceries, whatever the people need. Like I said, we all want to see Lions well on the field. Yes, we do. But, you know, at least they're winning off the field by doing the right thing. Like I said, they're debunking the myth that they're the stereotypical selfish, greedy, self-centered athletes only thinking of themselves.
Right. I mean, it's always good to give unto others. I mean, you know, really the spirit of Christmas, you know, for myself has always been about giving. I like, you know, I'm like anyone else. I like to receive presents, but, you know, the joy of giving someone a gift and seeing their eyes light up when you give them a gift, especially something that they need or actually sometimes what they wanted, and you made those Christmas wishes come true, it's always a good thing. So big shout out to the Lions organization and the Lions players who participated in those programs. Now it's time to go on the ball. Now, Shawnee J, this week we're going to really like lump in these last three games, the last five games actually, and look at some of the stats and what we think has went wrong for the Lions over this past few weeks. Looking at the last few games, they had a really inconsistent passing game. When you look at David Blau and Jeff Driskel, as long as Stafford has been out, he still leads the team, even more than the two quarterbacks that we have, the backups. He still has more passing yards than both of those guys combined. You got Driskel, who played three games starting, 685 yards, and you got Blau with 485. It really became an inconsistent passing game once you took Stafford out, which is not unexpected. So, you know, I expected the team to take a step back in the passing game. Jeff Driskel and David Blau aren't, you know, your franchise type of quarterbacks where they're going to go out and throw for, you know, 400 or 500 yards a game. If Matthew Stafford was on pace in his 8 games, if he would have stayed healthy, he probably would have had about 5,000 yards passing, you know, about 40 touchdowns. So looking at that, you know, I really didn't expect those two guys to come in and light it up. But, you know, what can you say? What's your thoughts about those two backup quarterbacks and their play over those last 5 games?
I agree with you. We know they weren't going to be a Matthew Stafford, even though, you know, I was hoping for a pleasant surprise, you know, that they could show they could be the next finex Kurt Warner. Remember when he just came out of nowhere with the Rams to the Super Bowl years ago or something like that. And, you know, David Blau, I really want to see him play. He's a rookie. We actually traded for him at the end of training camp with a head scratch. I said, you know, my post to the group was, ooh, I'll say what now? And that was my exact words. And because he didn't look so good in that Cleveland game. You know, he threw a couple picks. But the Lions made a trade for him, a 7th-round pick. It was a low risk. You know, they could have, I thought they could have easily got him on the waiver wire, but they actually traded for him. And I want to see him play because Purdue, where he came from, Purdue University, has a history of turning out some pretty good quarterbacks. You go back way back to the former Kansas City Chief, Lynn Dawson, and Bob Greasy, and Gary Danielson, and Jim Everett, and of course, Drew Brees, and Ken David. Right. Blau will be next in line, you know, because he comes from a pro-style offense. He looked good on Thanksgiving Day. Not so much against the Vikings. He kind of took a step back, but Minnesota has awesome defense and pass rush, and you know, he's still a rookie. But I want to see him, like I said, start the rest of the games. I want them to win. Try to win. Play the best you can, because you know, tanking, you can't see if a player can play well or not by tanking. You got the guy go out there because they're fighting for their jobs, their livelihood, and we got to see if he can play. And they got to make big plays, can you know? And it's just a good article in Private Detroit, which I posted to the group about all the young players, several young players, rookies and second year players who the Lions are playing right now, evaluating. So hopefully they all will develop and we have a bright future ahead of us, starting in 2020. But I definitely wanted to see Blau, you know, because he's a rookie. David Driskel kind of. Jeff Driskel, excuse me, kind of had a track record. You know, he was 1-4 last year and started the Bengals. He has some ability. He has some good running ability, but he made some bonehead decisions too, and throwing the ball. But I want to see Blau and see can he be the next great quarterback come out of Purdue University.
Right. One of the bright spots over the last few weeks has been a player that you've kind of spotlighted on the social media pages is Bo Scarborough. Bo Scarborough in 4 games, 301 yards rushing. Now, in his 4 games, he's only 7 yards behind Kerryon Johnson, who only has 308 yards in 6 games. So his production in the run game has definitely made a difference for the Lions. You know, it hasn't translated into wins. However, it has made a positive impact in keeping the offense balanced during a time where you need a more run support because you have a slightly less talented extremely less talented arm talent at the quarterback position. So Bo Scarborough is really playing well. I don't know what the Lions have in store for him. Are they going to bring him back next season? Is he going to be on the squad, or are they just looking at moving on from him?
That'll be down
the season.
That'll be down. I'm not going to speak too much because Scarborough is my Lions pride profile, so I'm going to save my comments till then. But it'd be very dumb if they cut him or let him go.
Yeah, let him go. They should be able to. I think they're going to have the cap space, and we'll talk about that in 2 points conversing, where they can have the upcoming cap space for next year, where they can sign him for a smaller contract and have him fit on the team for the next upcoming year. Looking at the biggest bright spot on the offense is Kenny Golladay. Kenny Golladay is top 10 in receiving yards at 1,008 yards. I think he's number 9. And he, with 10 touchdowns, he is the NFL leader in touchdown receptions. Now, I would say this. For me, I think that he's the only Lion that I see in my eyes that will be worthy of a Pro Bowl bid just because of the fact that he is producing, you know, number one in the league in touchdown receptions and top 10 in receiving yards. I mean, he's it right now. If Marvin Jones would have been able to finish out the year and get over 1,000 yards and stay up there with because he's number two in receiving touchdowns with 9. I think they both would have deserved a Pro Bowl nod. But Marvin Jones, if you haven't heard yet, it came out on the Newswire today that the Lions shut down Marvin Jones with an ankle injury. I think that's the best thing to do, injured his ankle in the game versus the Vikings. You know, right now, the Lions aren't really playing for anything, and there's no need to have your star players or your veteran key players play and risk further injury or a long-term injury where it will affect him going into next season. So,
I mean, separate them, my brother. They are playing mm-hmm. with young guys, the rookies, yeah. the second-year guys, the free agents. They have something to play for. They got, you know, they're playing for the NFL futures and livelihoods.
Right. Now, I'm talking about the veteran guys who really don't want them to get hurt. If they're already injured, I would say take them out. You know, I wouldn't risk those guys. Now, the guys that need to get that tape, you know, who the Lions, you know, may look at, evaluate to bring them back, or they may be trade bait for, you know, another team, or, you know, they playing for their livelihoods. Maybe they can put some stuff on tape where they, if the Lions release them in the offseason and can get picked up. But for those guys like Kerryon Johnson, Matthew Stafford, Marvin Jones, sit those guys down, let the young guys play. You know, there's no reason to risk your veteran players getting injured during this time of year. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I love Marvin. He was having his best season. She got hurt. He'll be 30 years old next year. Will he become a cap casualty? Will the Lions let him walk, or should they bring him back? That's the question, you know.
I mean, he had a really good season. So I would love to have Marvin Jones back. I mean, that's a good 1-2 punch with him and Kenny Golladay. They were one of the top duos in the league for this season. So I really would want them to bring Marvin Jones back just to keep a good veteran presence with Kenny Golladay. He's really coming into his own. I really like and I think you need a downfield threat with Kenny Golladay, which he can stretch the field, but he's not a speed burner guy where he can catch a slant to where he makes some incredible catches, but he's not a blazing speed guy. You know what I'm saying? Like, he can get chased down by a speedy defensive back, but he could definitely make some guys miss and he can run over some guys. But I just think you need a speed guy to pair him with that makes him a better receiver.
I hear you. Yeah, Marvin Hall felt that role nicely. He averaged 40 yards reception, but then he got hurt. So Lions really got hit hard with injuries this year.
Yeah, the other really guys that are bright spots, and they really don't think they show up as shining in the league right now, is Frank Ragnow and Taylor Decker. I mean, these guys are two of the top offensive lines graded by Pro Football Focus. We talked about this before on our podcast about Pro Football Focus and the numbers, is that it doesn't tell the whole story. Now, these guys are having really good years, but it's not translating into W's. And that's the issue for me with Pro Football Focus. It never tells the complete story of what's going on the team. You know, just because a player is rated high by that rating system doesn't mean it's translating into success for the team or the actual player. So what do you think was the downfall for the offensive line this year?
The downfall of the offensive line. It looked good start of the season. I think maybe Patricia outcoached himself when he was rotating, you know, Kenny Golladay but Kenny Wiggins in and out of the lineup, you know, mm-hmm. trying to rotate guards. Offensive linemen, you maybe get away with the defensive line, but the offensive line needs some cohesion, some continuity. Mm-hmm. Unless there was an injury, he should have stuck with all five guys. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was a couple injuries on the offensive line, too. that hurt, but I was stuck in all five guys. They'll play every offensive series this year. I wouldn't rotate a Kenny Wiggins in there like they did. I think it's his future. We drafted, you know, spend a lot of money on the offensive line. He's a group free agency when we signed Rick Wagner and TJ Lang, that since retired TJ Lang a couple years ago. And plus, we drafted guys like Frank Ragnow and Decker and Graham Glasgow and Joe Dahl. You know, we invested some money in offensive line. One thing, I think some offensive cohesion. I never did like that rotation, even though they said it helped the offensive line. I'd rather play five guys unless someone gets hurt. And I think now that the season's over, another young guy that got to give a chance is my man, BB. Bo, put Bo in. Yeah, let's see what Bo can do. Maybe he can, you know, they say they need to get rid of, upgrade the right tackle position because Wagner isn't, you know, he's slowing down. Bo is a big guy. Maybe he can play right tackle. I think he has to play a little tackle, even though he's a guard coming out of college. See what he can do. Dress him, play him, put him out there. It's the time to see what the young guys can do. Play my man Bo. Bo and Bo show. Bo Scarborough and Ben Schwau.
Okay. I hear you.
Thing on Bo. You see, I posted, there was a good article from the Detroit News that I posted on the group about Bo. Mm-hmm. They say like his improvement in practice. He's working hard all year. He only dressed one game. I noticed he was dressed for the Washington game. He was in uniform, but he didn't get a game. Mm-hmm. But, you know, put him in these last three games. See what he can do.
You know, this is that time of year where you can get some tape on some younger players, some of those undrafted free agents that you signed in the offseason and some of the younger players that you drafted, some of the later round guys, and kind of see how they work out for you. So it is a good time of the year for that. Wrapping up the offense, I just think that the injury bug, and we'll get into this here in a little bit later, but the injury bug really caused, you know, a lot of strife for the Lions offense, you know, starting with, you know, QB1. I mean, with that, you know, back injuries and, you know, the hip injuries, then, you know, Kerryon Johnson only playing six games, having to go on the IR, you know, then Ty Johnson. We'll get into that a little bit later, but, you know, you just have a slew of injuries happening on the offense that really caused the offensive production to slow down. Now it's time to defend the den, the defense. Here is my thing. What the downfall for me is for this season for the defense. So far, from pass rush,
yes.
Lions ranked 28th in sacks. They had 25 for the season. I mean, that's horrible. And you know what thing that really was I wasn't expecting, and we talked about this so much earlier in this season's podcast. We talked about the secondary, how fast they were, and, you know, how we're supposed to have this blazing fast secondary and, you know, be able to cover guys. You know, the Detroit Lions rank last, dead last in the league in interceptions. Last. I mean, like 32nd. They only got five. I mean, I'm like, what? It's horrible, the amount of passing yards and touchdowns these guys are giving up. And, you know, and the injury bug has really plagued that defense as well, especially, you know, you look at Rashawn Melvin, and it pushes Justin Coleman out to the wide, you know, and he's really a good slot corner. However, his numbers this second half of the season is nowhere near the production he was having at the beginning of the season. It's just his numbers are night and day as the season progressed. His production against in the slot really went down. It was, I don't know if teams knew how to attack him. And I think that the Lions are trying to change their scheme up, playing more of a zone. And we all know the zone busters are what, crossing routes, you know, and to have, you know, that slot corner playing some of those routes, you know, that's a recipe for destruction versus the defense. So it's just those two areas, the pass rush and the pass defense, definitely was a area that the Lions suffered in this year.
And the scheme, you know, I remember last season, Paul, I told you, it's Paul Pasqualoni, the defensive coordinator, who I hope is definitely going. He said something that really grinded my gears, and that was Like, sacks aren't necessary. They're overrated or something like that to that effect. And it's the scheme. I mean, they even rush the pass. It's pretty much let the quarterback, you know, they control the line. They stand and let the guys stay on the line, put token pressure on them. But they let them only rush three guys at the most and let guys look or have all day to value the field and pick them apart. I hate that scheme. Right. You know, I cry. All Lions fans cry to rush the pass or blitz the pass the quarterback. I mean, but both Patricia and Pasquale swear this scheme can work, but it hasn't worked all season long. I mean, like you say, you know,
I think that I know Patricia knows better because I know even last year, at the end of last year, he was blitzing Davis more and blitzing the linebackers more, you know, getting pressure on the quarterback. Those, you know, stunts and twists and those things that can help your pass rush. I mean, just lining up three guys and, you know, and this sitting back with your linebackers, that's not going to get it done. Certain quarterbacks, they need to, you can challenge them to make them stay in the pocket. You know, like Patrick Mahomes, where we challenge him to make throws out of the pocket, which he's more comfortable making his spectacular passes on the run. Keeping him in the pocket, that's a thing where it's, you know, that can disrupt him. But most quarterbacks in the NFL, you know, you want to have give them pressure in the pocket where they you make them, you know, throw off platform and they can't throw that way. And you pressure them and, you know, things of that nature. I mean, even if you don't get to them all the time, as long as you're pressuring them and forcing bad throws, and that's where your interceptions can come in. You know, if you're not getting any pressure, you know, you only can ask your secondary to do so much if you're not getting any pressure on the quarterback. You know, they only can cover guys for so long. You know what I'm saying? So
right. And that's why we get into it. We need an elite pass rusher, I think. I want an elite pass rusher and a running back. Those are my two priorities. I still want that running back. People keep saying we all need a running back. I like Bo, but Bo, like I said, has an injury. He'll look into this more in the, you know, the profile. He has an injury history, so it's carry on. That's why I say I want one more running back, a little more sturdy. I'll get into it, but I want a running back and a pass rusher.
Now, what? The one bright spot in the league as far as the Lions concerned and the defense is that they rank fifth in the league in fumbles. And we're talking about forced fumbles and recovered fumbles. They rank fifth with 11 turnovers off fumbles. That's good. A lot of that stuff came earlier in the season where they were making turn teams over a lot, especially in that during that Kansas City and the LA Chargers games, where they caused a lot of fumbles during those two games. However, the Lions are overall a -3 in turnovers, which means we've given the ball away 19 times, but we only taken the ball away 16 times. And the defensive free agents that we signed this offseason, I mean, really aren't working out. And to be honest, you were 23rd versus the run and we're 30th versus the pass, and that puts us at the bottom of the league in total defense. I mean, we're not last, but we're at that bottom tier. I mean, we're way down there in total defense. What do you think the issues are with the defense for this season?
Scheme mainly that Patricia and Pasquale ran, you know, too passive. I mean, it's sitting back rushing three guys. We talked about this prior podcast. Not enough pressure on the quarterback. Injuries hit us too, especially on defensive line. You know, we got like Mike Daniels, who I thought would be a stud for us. He's been hurt a lot. Sean Hand's been hurt. Even Trey Flowers is hurt, but Trey Flowers been playing his ass off the last few weeks. You know, I think, you know, he needs a opposite among, you know, a bookend on the end, have him out, you know, a pass rusher. You know, you can sign one, perhaps like a Trevor, what's his name from Dallas, Derek Lawrence, or the guy from Tate Jacksonville. Lawrence.
Okay.
From Dallas, Cowboys. What's his name? You know, talking about
DeMarcus Lawrence?
Yes, or the guy from Jacksonville, or, you know, go after Chase Young, or Michigan's Josh Uche. Get a pass rush, one of those guys, definitely. Mm-hmm. And be more aggressive on defense. You know, they played their defensive scheme was too passive. Like, they let the guy just stand back there all day, you know, had a half hour to throw the ball, survey the field. And, you know, as fast as our secondary may have been, they're ineffective without a good pass rush. So I've said that many times. A quarterback's best friend is a good running game and offensive line, mm-hmm. or a defensive back's best friend is a good pass rush. That get to the quarterback. It makes his job so much easier. We need another Bubba Baker or Robert Borchet as well.
They ain't coming out of retirement anytime soon. So we need to do some work in that offseason. So
yes.
Talking about that, it's time to go to 2 points conversing. 2 points conversing this week. First thing we're going to talk about is some injuries. Key injuries for the Lions. I mean, you look at both sides of the ball. This looking at some of the starters that got hurt during this season. You got Matthew Stafford, Marvin Jones, who's not on IR. Nick Bowden was out for a while. Deshaun Hand was in for a while, but was out most of the season.
Austin Bryant.
Yeah, Austin Bryant. Tracy Walker was hurt. Kerryon Johnson hurt. Slade missed some time. Melvin missed some time. You look at, it's just Frank Ragnow went down for a while.
Graham Glasgow,
Rick Wagner. You look at the amount of starters that has missed time for the Lions this year, and it's hard to have a successful season when you have that many starters out during the season. So I can understand what the reason is for some of the losses. I won't sit here and pacify and say all the losses were justified, because I will say this, besides the last game, which was a really blowout, the Lions were in a lot of those games where there were 6-point wins, 7-point yes. wins, 4-point wins, you know, by the other team. So the Lions were in a lot of games this year, but they just couldn't close out. And it's hard to, especially those last 5 games where you didn't have Matthew Stafford, and 4 of those games, you know, you rely on a inexperienced quarterback to try to lead the team to victory. And it doesn't help that your defense isn't stopping anyone as well. So, I mean, and we're up there as far as we're one of the top teams in the league in Detroit that hasn't trailed, you know, as have led in most games. And we've, you know, so I think almost every game that the Lions have played, they've had the lead some point in the game, except for the last game. You know, it's tough. It's tough right now. You know, we've had a lead in all of those games except for the last game versus the Vikings. It's hard to do that. Now, yes. Looking at that, what position or what player do you think the Lions need to go after in the upcoming NFL draft in 2020?
Well, there's a couple. I have about 3 of mine. Everybody wants Chase Young out of Ohio State. Young, mm-hmm. he's a good player, but I think he reminds me a lot of Jadeveon Clowney. How do you say his first name?
Clowney. Jadeveon Clowney.
Jadeveon uh-huh. Clowney, right. Now, Clowney, he's had a solid career. He's been a good player, but has Clowney been that dominant player you expected being the top overall pick in a 2014 draft? The answer to that is no. He's been a solid player, but not the dominant player. And
you know what, though? I think that really came down to the scheme and then the actual look who he was playing with. You know, he was playing with a very dominant player.
J.J. Watt.
Sometimes it's kind of hard. J.J. Watt, you know, J.J. Watt was the dominant force on that team. You know, won a couple of defensive players of the year while Clowney was there. I'm not saying that's an excuse for, you know, because he had solid years, but he was overshadowed there by J.J. Watt. He's very good in Seattle.
They were supposed to be the two best defensive ends since Deacon Jones and Merlin Olsen or something like that, or Alan Page and Kyle Eller. Yeah.
You're old school, boy. You're going old school on that one.
Yeah, he's supposed to be the next Alan Page and Kyle Eller or something like that down there in Texas. Mm-hmm. But they weren't. Like I said, Clowney been a solid player, but not the dominant player that everybody expected he would be coming out as a top over pick in 2014. And I see Chase Young being a similar player now. Michigan, even though they lost the game, and same thing with Wisconsin, even though they lost the games, last two games to Ohio State. Young was pretty much a non-factor. You know, the Michigan kind of neutralized him. So did Wisconsin. Yeah. He didn't get a quarterback sack. And it's going to be even tougher in the NFL. You know, teams with a game plan for you. You just can't win on your physical ability alone. Teams, you know, you're going to get some big offensive linemen once you get to the NFL. And the things you can get away from college, you can't get away in the pros. So Chase Young, I'm not, even though he had a great college season, that won't necessarily translate to the pros. Also, let me say one more defensive one. The guy from Auburn, Derrick Brown, I do believe his name is number 5 down there. He's a good run stopper. Yeah.
Defensive tackle,
The defensive tackle, run stopper, yes. I like him. I mean, he reminds me a little bit of one in Damakan Su, who drafted 10 years ago. I mean, he's a good run stopper. Can play the, he can rush the passer. And, you know, all the issues we had, defensive tackle, snacks, get up a little, age a little bit. Tan is injury prone. So is A'shaun Robinson. A defensive tackle, it may just, it's just necessary to defense end. You need to replenish, you know, the defensive line. And like I said, that pass rusher later, like a Josh Uche from Michigan or somebody like that. And like I said, we need one more thing on offense. We need a running back. As much as I love Bo Scarborough, I do want him back. Bo can't carry the load alone because, you know, of his injury history, which I'll talk about later. I would love a running back. If not in the first round, the second and third, I would love a Jonathan Taylor from Wisconsin. I would love A.J. Dillon from Boston College. I would love even J.K. Dobbins from Ohio State or Najee Harris from Alabama. But we definitely need a running back, another running back to go along with what we have.
Right. That was the guy that I really was targeting myself was Taylor out of Wisconsin. Yeah, I think he's a good solid back. You know, he's not very injury prone. He's a good. He has great speed and he's a downhill runner. He doesn't have to have a lot of movement. You know, he doesn't have to have a lot of daylight to, you know, he can kind of make himself skinny and get through the hole. You know, he doesn't have to have a lot of daylight to, you know, to make some big runs. So that's what the person I really was looking at outside of Chase Young. It is one of those things where you look at Chase Young. He's not the biggest defensive lineman, but he is very athletic and he can make a difference. And you can put him on the other side of Trey Flowers. That can cause some issues because you look at where the Michigan Wolverines and the Wisconsin Badgers could scheme against him. There wasn't that other guy on the other side that was really, you know, that great of a pass rusher where if you put him on the other side with someone else, that can wreak havoc because you can't scheme for both of them. You can't scheme for both defensive ends. Then you leave your quarterback really open for blitzes from up the middle, where you're looking at if you double team both Trey Flowers and Chase Young, have a player like Tyvay or Davis coming through up the middle from the linebacker position. So, or you're looking at Kennard coming around the edge. So I think that Young would be a good draft pick for the Lions myself, but we'll see where Bob Quinn and those guys go. Talking about Bob Quinn and Matt Patricia, what is your outlook? Do you think that they deserve another year at the helm in Detroit after the last two seasons?
Yeah, it's not really, but they'll probably get 2020 and it'll be their last chance, you know, 2020. You know, Bob Quinn, he got his handpicked guy, Matt Patricia. All I heard before Patricia took this job was he was a genius. He was the next bright head coach. Everybody wanted Patricia. He was the next Bill Belichick. He's so smart. He's so intelligent. He has an engineering degree. And he's a defense genius, defense guru. He needs his own team. He deserves his own team because he's been in New England for, 15, 16 years? But he finally got his own team. And just like all other former New England assistants, it's been a disaster. You know, the most successful disciple of Bill Belichick is probably Bill O'Brien of the Texans.
Yep.
Yes, he's the most Texans, successful. Yep. And he was at Penn State for a year. Yeah, so...
Yeah,
he's the most successful, successful former coach from Bill Belichick's coaching tree in New England. They said Patricia was going to break the mold, and you know he had Bob Quinn, also a longtime Patriot front office guy, who both are on the same page. You know, they believe in the Patriot way. But the Patriot way isn't so far working here in Detroit. I mean, like they said, they get rid of some good players. They got rid of E. Brown, who until this year played well in the last year. They got rid of the linebacker, went to New England, Van Noy. They got rid of a really embarrassing trade they made this year, our boy Debo.
Nino, yes.
Man. Andre Diggs. That was embarrassing. Get rid of, yeah. So they made some, yeah.
I tell you this, man. It hurts my heart every time I see him on national TV making plays. I'm like, sweet Christmas. What did? Why did we give up? You know, first of all, when it happened, the next game, what happened? Tracy Walker goes down. But Diggs was a captain. You voted this guy a captain. He was a captain on your defense, and you traded him away. He was the man. He was the senior safety. And you traded him away for what?
A fifth round pick.
I mean, he's on national TV. He's a young guy making two interceptions, a pick six. I think he had another interception when he played in a primetime game earlier this year. I'm like, come on, man. I mean, Quandre Diggs is in Seattle balling out. I mean, you think about this. It's reminding me of that Cliff Avril type of where we let him go to Seattle and he's on the verge of where he can win a championship. Or that, you know, because they are a championship caliber team. I'm not saying they're going to win a championship this year. I'm just saying they're, you know, when he goes to this team, when you look at, he was on the Lions. And now he's on a 10-win team. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like, she said, thank you, Detroit. Yeah.
Yeah. You're like, appreciate you trading me.
Well, at least they lost the game to the Rams.
To the Rams. But to see him on TV making those plays, man, I just really, it makes me miss him all over again every time I see him. It's like after a breakup and you see your girl and she, your other partner doing well, their new partner.
Doing
better, got a better house, got a better job, got a better car, whatever. All you can do is life. Move on. Yeah, all you can do is move on, but it still hurts a little bit because they got a little bit better life, but you have to move on because it's not that life wasn't meant for you, you know. So I mean, I give a big shout out to Quandre and Slay has made no qualms about it. He is, you know, he is happy for his man Nino out there balling out in Seattle.
His moves like that is why Quinn needs to be fired too.
Yeah. Talking about Quinn, now what do you think some moves he can make next season? Looking at with the new salary cap numbers that's going to come out for next season, the Lions are looking at really a lot of money under the cap. We're talking about almost $50 million. That's a lot of free agents and a lot of big contracts that can be signed for the Lions. Do you think that if he stays on board, do you think he would spend that money wisely?
He better, because, you know, his job's on the line, too. It's Wilson, and his job and legacy is on the line, both him and Patricia. Now, if I was Quinn and be smart, I would go strictly for defense. If I get a veteran pass rusher and defensive tackle in free agency, and maybe another cornerback and safety in free agency. And, you know, I'll fill holes that way, especially defensive holes. And like I said, I'll get a stud running back with number one pick in the draft and the rest of the draft, you know, defense, and maybe a couple offensive linemen for depth purposes. But yes, defense, and a running back. That's what I want.
I think a good corner. I think a good veteran corner. I think Amani Warrior needs some more work, you know, before he can be a starting caliber player.
And so does the safety who we traded.
Will Harris.
Yes.
Yeah, those guys need some work. They were pretty raw coming into the season. But the only way to get reps is to get them. You know what I'm saying? That's the only way to get experience is the actual play. So,
and that's why they traded away Quandre, because they thought they wanted to see their young guys, especially Harris and Tracy Walker, you know, but still. And, you know, Miles Killebrew is finally doing something and using him properly, you know, as a nickel safety or whatever. He's getting a chance. Yeah. So that's why they traded Quandre. Not they had depth. They thought Quandre was expendable, but they should have traded with Killebrew, not Quandre.
You still left Nino where he was. Nino, I mean, he's out there making hits and interceptions. We're moving on from that. From a man Nito, going to be missing all more going forward. But hopefully we can get some good quality players in the draft and some good quality free agents. I mean, we're at that time of the year. The Lions are at right now are number five in the NFL draft order. The only teams you got above them are the Bengals, and you have the Giants. I can't even remember who else is in front of them.
Not the Dolphins.
The Dolphins. You know, it's been a bleak season, but the one bright spot for those people who wanted the Lions to tank at once they got to a certain point, we are up there in the top five picks. The Giants couldn't help us out this weekend. You know, we were trying to move up to number four, but the Giants couldn't close out the Eagles yesterday to move them up to number four. But hey, that's neither here nor there. That's 2 points conversing this week. We look forward to talking about some more topics here coming up in the next few weeks, looking at more draft picks and more potential free agent targets coming up in the next few weeks. Once we get toward the end of the season, you're going to look at expiring contracts and look at players that may not be where they are this year, next year. So we'll look at that coming up in the next few weeks. Now it is time for our prior profile. After the break, we'll come back and we'll get that our prior profile on one young lion, Mr. Bo Scarborough. We'll be back here shortly. We're back from the break. My man, Shawnee J, you got Big Bo Scarborough is your prior profile. Talk to me about my man, Bo.
Yes, I'm doing something a little different this weekend. I'm not talking about a former Lion or a retired player. I'm talking about a current Lion, a young Lion in his second or first full season in the NFL. Very talented individual. Like you said, Mr. Bo Scarborough. Bo was always one of my favorite players in college. He was born in Utah, Alabama on September 29th, 1996. He's only 23 years old. Coming out of high school, he was a five-star recruit. He went to IMG, the powerful IMG Academy in Florida, where, you know, it's known for turning out good college players and professional players. He was a consistent five-star who committed to University of Alabama, even though he was recruited by a lot of schools. He went to Alabama. Like I said, he had a lot of competition. He played with other guys like Derrick Henry and Marvin, Ingram. Ingram, you know, the guy I'm talking about. Mark Ingram, yes. Yes, a lot of players. He had a lot of competition, as Alabama's always had a strong backfield, at least under Nick Saban era. But as talented as Bo is, his talent's never been a question. The question about Bo has always been his health. Like, he suffered some serious injuries in high school, as he tore his ACL in high school, and he suffered a broken fibula in Alabama, which limited his effectiveness. Like I said, talent's never been a question. It's always been a matter of could the guy stay healthy. Bo was drafted, you know, in the seventh round in 2018 by the Dallas Cowboys. He went so low in part because of the injury concern. In 2018, he bounced around between three teams, practice squads, as he was the Cowboys, the Jaguars, and the Seattle Seahawks. Seattle brought him back over the summer for preseason training camp, but he's among the last cuts on August 31st. The Lions signed, he was unrestricted free agent for a couple months. He didn't get in, he had a job. He was basically staying in shape, hoping for that phone call. And the Lions signed on November 6th of this year to the practice squad. After injuries on November 16th, he was signed to the active roster. And the very next day, he was in the starting lineup against the Dallas Cowboys, a game I went to, and he looked pretty good. He ran with authority, ran hard. He's that big, strong running back I love. You know, if you look at the guy's body, he is built. He is solid, done an ounce of fat on him. He's 6'1", a solid muscular, 235 pounds. But once again, the question with Bowles always injuries. It's been injuries. And he suffered a rib injury last week against Minnesota, even though he said he's going to play this week. Bowles Scarborough, you know, he's played well for the Lions. He's been a leading rusher. He said he has over 300 yards in the three games he's played in. And, you know, he should have more because they took away two wrong runs from on questionable penalties. So he could potentially have more yards. And I think Bowles Scarborough is a part of the Lions' future. They better bring him back because he's the type of big back that I love and Patricia loves. They better bring him back, but I still want them to bring in another running back to go with Bowles. And carry on because of the injury concerns. But that's our man, Bowles Scarborough. I think he has a good history. We'll see how he finishes out these last three games.
All right. That's my man, Bowles Scarborough. Now it is time for Now You Know.
Now You Know is brought to you by Foster Camera Solutions. For your home or business security needs, call Dan at Foster Camera Solutions for a free estimate at 248-672-8640. With no monthly fees and self-monitoring from your smartphone, computer, or tablet, let Foster Camera Solutions design a security camera system that fits your needs. You can also visit their Facebook page for more information at facebook.com/Foster Camera Solutions. Remember, Foster Camera Solutions when securing your home or business. What up, though? This is Kurt Steele, and welcome to this week's edition of Now You Know. This week, we're going to cover Article 3 of Section 2 of the NFL Rulebook. We're going to read the rule and break it down for you as we normally do here on Now You Know. You know how we do it. So let's get into it. Article 3, which is a foul during a scoring play of Section 2 of the NFL rulebook, the special enforcement of penalty, states in the rulebook that if a team commits a personal foul or unsportsmanlike conduct foul or a palpably unfair act during a down in which an opponent scores, the penalty is enforced on a succeeding free kick. Now, free kick is your kickoff or a punt. That's what a free kick is. Now, unless the score resulted from the enforcement, where you cannot have a scoring play that results from a penalty. What happens either if it's very close to the goal line, it's enforced half the distance to the goal, or if it happens in the end zone, the ball is placed on the 2-yard line, or if it's already inside the 2-yard line, it's marked off half the distance to the goal. So now let's move into a new part of this rule that got enforced this year at the league winter meetings. On a touchdown, the penalty, whether a live ball, which is during a play, or a dead ball, which happens after the play, or a foul between downs, which say a penalty occurred or the play has already happened, and you have the next play. So say if you have a encroachment or offsides, that's between downs, can be enforced on the succeeding kickoff or extra point try. Now, that's a change. It used to be where it was always going to be enforced on the extra point try. There was never a option for the scoring team to take it on the kickoff. It always was on the extra point try. So if it was an encroachment on the scoring play, they just went ahead and marked it off half distance to the goal, or they moved the ball, or 5 yards forward if they're doing the new extra point try. So on a successful try kick, any foul by team B, which is the defense, that does not result in a retry or negate a scoring play, may be enforced on the succeeding free kick, which is a kickoff. Now, here's an exception to the rule. If a personal foul, unsportsmanlike conduct foul, or a palpably unfair act occurs on a touchdown or successful field goal, the scoring team has the option to begin a new series or to replay the down following the enforcement of the penalty from the previous spot, and the score does not count. Basically, You have the opportunity to take the points off the board. This usually applies if a field goal happens, if a team really needs to score a touchdown and they want those extra points, extra 3 points instead of just taking a field goal, the team will take the spot from the penalty enforcement. Now, most times teams, unless it's a dire situation, end of the game, won't take points off the board unless they're down a lot of points. Now, if it's in a sportsmanlike conduct foul or a personal foul, the 15 yards is going to be excess and it's going to be an automatic first down because we already know a personal foul or a sportsmanlike conduct foul is an automatic first down. Now, a palpably unfair act, which is a traditional penalty, if it's marked off and it does not result in a first down, a down is replayed. If a penalty that occurs, like an unsportsmanlike conduct or a personal foul occurs, the penalty is marked off and the new series of down is awarded to the offensive team. Well, there you have it. Article 3, Section 2 of the NFL rule book, a foul during a scoring play. If you don't know, now you know, like my man Biggie Smalls, baby, baby. Now let's get back to the Die Hard Den podcast with my man, Shawnee Jane.
All right, we're back from Now You Know. It is time to go on to the next one. The next game versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Who do you got, my man, Shawnee J, for the Lions versus the Buccaneers?
I think the Lions are going to win at least one game and close out the season. You know, I don't think they're going to go out 0-9. Hope they don't lease. I don't want to see them let make Jameis Winston look like Warren Moon or anybody like that. I think the Lions could win a close one. I'm going to say 21-17 Lions.
21-17 Lions. Looking at the three games, I would say that Jameis Winston is coming in with a broken thumb. I will say this. I would think the Lions may squeak one out. It's going to be a defensive battle. I would say the Lions 14 and the Buccaneers 10.
I'll go with that. I'll go for that too. 21-17, you know, 14-10, 4-point spread. Yeah. I go, who's favoring this game?
Let's look it up right quick while we're on here. Let's see who is favored on this game. It is. Hold on. We'll put it up. I'm gonna put it up right now. So we ain't got to guess on who's favorite in this game. I do believe that the Lions are a home underdog again this week going up against the Tampa Bay. Yes, Tampa Bay is favored by 3.5.
Okay. But I think they're gonna lose by that amount. 4 points we both do. So it's 8-point swing.
Yep, 8-point swing. So all right. So and that's gonna be Sunday at Ford Field. If you getting out there, hey, enjoy the game. You know, we got two home games left. You know, the Lions will be traveling to Denver in 2 weeks, but for a 4 o'clock game versus the Broncos, who had a shocking victory versus the Houston Texans. That was a wild game. All right, so now it's time for us to get on out of here. So my man, Shawnee J, tell the people how they can find you on social media.
You can find me on Facebook, Sean Jennings. I'm head administrator of the Detroit Lions Truth fan group on Facebook. We are very entertaining and informative, and you want to join the group, I'll be happy to add you.
All right, and you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Curtis Steele 14, CURTISSTEELE 14. I am also Curtis W. Steele Jr. on Facebook. You can find me in the Detroit Lions Truist page. You can find me on Detroit Lions Diehard fans page. And you can also find us on the Detroit Lions, on the Diehard Den podcast Facebook page. And you can also follow the page on Twitter. The podcast is at Die Hard Den Pod C1. You can also email the show, diehardthenpodcast@gmail.com. Thank you all for listening to the podcast. And we're going to have some surprises coming up shortly here on our Facebook page. So you're going to have to listen and you're going to have to find out some good things. We're going to have some surprises coming up on our Facebook page. So stay tuned. And as always, we thank you for listening to the show. We're here to inform you about the Lions and what our opinions is about the Lions and what they're going to do going forward. So as always, this is Kurt Steele. And for my man, Shawnee J, we are out.